This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
We go to our hotline to talk to friend of the show, Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe, in advance of game one of the Celtics and the Cavs. Gary, welcome back. How are you, friend?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We're good, and it turns out it is Cleveland that is walking through that door. Gary, I know Donovan Mitchell is real good, but boy, I'll tell you, he would have to find some kind of Superman cape for him to lead his team to a win in this series. So I guess I start there. How good is Donovan Mitchell, and is he at the point to where he can steal a game, or dare I say, get you close to maybe stealing two in this series?
I think he's good enough to win a game for the Cavaliers, but they're going to need a lot of help. He's going to need a lot of help in this series. They're going to have two or three other guys really step up and play great basketball to give them a chance in this series. They did not look good in that seven-game series against Orlando. They lost three games on the road by a total of 68 points, and they were down 18 in Game 7 before making a comeback, and the Magic were just inept offensively. So the Cavs have their share of issues. So the Celtics just have to take care of their own business, move the ball, play strong defense, give Mitchell some resistance, rebound, do the little things, and they should prevail.
So, Gary, who picks up the slack that Porzingis is out? Who's that next guy?
Well, Al Horford's going to start. And he'll get a chunk of the minutes, and then you're going to have, like, Luke Kornet. And I also think this could be a series we see Xavier Tillman get some quality minutes, too. Cleveland's a big team. I mean, if Jared Allen plays, him and Mobley are a pretty formidable duo in the front court. So you're going to need all the bigs you can get your hands on. And the Celtics have four bigs and three that they you know, who have played playoff minutes before in Kornet, Horford, and Tillman. So I think those are the three that will handle the load. I don't think this is a series they desperately need Porzingis. I think if Horford plays his normal game, stretches the floor, hits a couple of threes, rebounds, defends, they'll be fine.
Gary, how does Jarrett Allen alter the matchups in this series if he is upright and available to go for the Cavs?
Yeah, he's a shot blocker, rim protector, a guy who can score at the rim, guy who can rebound. In those four games in Orlando before he got hurt, he averaged 17 and 13. So he's going to be – he's a force in the paint. And, you know, he's a guy that's not a household name because, you know, kind of a low-profile guy. But around the league, he's a good defender, considered a high-quality center. So that just gives them two bigs in Mobley and Allen. Now, you know – Allen is not going to hit an 18-footer. He's going to score around the rim. Mobley has had offensive issues since his career, you know, in his 3 years. He's not a real offensive guy. He'll dunk and maybe hit a short J, but he's not real adept offensively. So you're not going to expect a 30-point game for either of those guys. but you can't expect them to get four or five blocks and 15 boards when they're playing well. So the Celtics will have to bring them away from the basket and open up those driving lanes and just figure out ways to keep them in check.
So we're talking to Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe. And Gary, of course, you'll be at the game as you are all the time. And I'm curious how you feel Joe Mazzulla's doing. Like, you know, you guys always have a, you know, unique back and forth depending on what's going on and, you know, how many threes he's shooting. He seems very aware of what you write and how you say it. How have you seen his growth over the last, I call it, 3 weeks?
I think Mazzulla did a good job responding against Eric Spoelstra in the Miami series. I thought he got out-coached in game two. I thought that they were kind of lackadaisical in that game, but they came back in game three with a good game plan, finished off the Heat. I thought he's done a good job. I think he deserved the Coach of the Year votes that he got. Yeah, I thought he's taken a step forward this year, done a good job. You know, worked with the players he has. The players he has loved playing for him. So, yeah, I thought he's done a solid job.
So when you guys do you think that he's hyper aware of what you're saying about him, you being like the senior NBA writer in the city?
I think he reads what I write, and I think that he is very strong in convictions of what he believes is the right thing to do for his team, what he believes is the right way to play. And so when that's challenged, I tend to think, yeah, there's times he can get sensitive about that. He can snap back. And that's kind of what happens, but it's not my job to agree with him. It's not my job to say all the, you know, pull out my pom-poms and say, go Celtics. My job is to ask the questions, the tough questions I think fans want to know.
Yeah.
Especially losses or wins, just ask the questions that I think need to be asked. And if he has an issue with that, well, that's part of the job. So, you know, it's something that occurs and that probably will continue to occur, but as far as, you know, him being sensitive, I do think he understands reads what I write, but I also think he has a different philosophy of what, you know, probably doesn't agree with me a lot.
Gary, well, God forbid he listens to our show, he's going to hate us.
I don't know. We've
been pretty nice, I guess.
We're pretty complimentary of him. I mean, but I understand where Gary's coming from, because one of the questions that I have for Gary Washburn of the Globe is, I know that stylistically those are some of the questions that you definitely challenge him on, and definitely the volume of threes. Gary, are you expecting any change in the way the Celtics play offense against Cleveland? And conversely, does Cleveland have to hit shots like Miami did in the game that they won in this series to even have a chance?
Yeah, they do. They're going to have big games from Darius Garland, Max Strus. They're going to have someone else score 20 points besides Donovan Mitchell and probably even a third guy. They're going to have to score more than 100 points a game, and that's not something they struggled with in that Orlando series. That Orlando series was a real rock fight. Not pretty basketball on either side, two teams with serious flaws that kind of went at each other, obviously, until the final game. So Cleveland is going to have to match the Celtics' threes. They're going to have to force the Celtics in some tough threes. They're going to have to force the Celtics in taking bad and contested twos. They're going to have to play a really perfect defensive game and then counter that by hitting some threes and having their offense probably be what it hasn't been all season.
Who do you put on Donovan Mitchell? Who guards him, or at least the start? Who do you think draws that?
I think it's a combination of guys, but I think you could probably start with Derek White, and then you could put Jaylen Brown on him for the physicality, and then you could mix in some Drew Holiday there. I think that all three will get their shot at Mitchell. And the thing is, I think fans shouldn't be discouraged if Mitchell is comfortable and goes off. It's the other guys that they're going to have to worry about. A guy to look for is like a guy like Caris LeVert, who has had big, big games against the Celtics in the past. If he can drop 20, 25 points off the bench, then that's not a good thing. You don't want Mitchell to have a partner in crime in terms of scoring. If he drops 50, remember the game he dropped 50 and scored all 18 points in the fourth quarter in that game, they lost. They only scored 96 points. So his teammates did nothing to help him. And that's what kind of been the theme of Cleveland this year. They've had struggles to score in recent games.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't ask this as if JB Bickerstaff is a rube, okay? However, in going against Eric Spoelstra, Gary, there is the, it's Coach Spo. He's going to have something up his sleeve. He'll have a card to play. He'll figure it out. How much of some Coach Spo adjustment level is in JB Bickerstaff, if at all?
Not the coach that Spoelstra is. I think Bickerstaff is a solid coach. I do think winning that series against Orlando probably saved his job because they went out so meekly last year against the Knicks where they were the favorite team and had home court advantage, and they lost in five. So I think winning this series saved his job. But he is known as more of a defensive-minded coach. His rotations have been criticized. So, yeah, this isn't – they're not playing Eric Spoelstra here. They're not playing a top-five NBA coach. You know, Bickerstaff has had his moments and is a solid coach. But not on the level of Spoelstra. But I do think they'll make adjustments. I do think they'll throw some wrinkles at the Celtics that maybe they haven't seen. But no, you're not playing against a wizard here.
It's interesting because we got Rick Carlisle, crusty old vet. We got JB Bickerstaff, who you mentioned maybe more defensive minded. You got Tom Thibodeau in New York, who's clearly a defensive minded head coach, and then you have Joe Mazzulla. It feels like we hear so much, Gary, about modern, yet I see one modern head coach in Mazzulla and, you know, at least one older guy in Tibbs who was preaching defense 15 years ago. It's just interesting, Gary, how it's the whole, hey, we're just chucking it up now and to hell with everything else. That's the way the game is played. And yet you've got a couple of crusty old ball coaches still on the Eastern Conference side of things.
Yeah. And New York plays kind of a traditional slowdown style. You know, Rick Carlisle, you know, it's funny. He's really changed his style. He has become like the Paul Westhead, you know. He has become that guy who just says, hey, let us go ahead and score. We'll score three. You'll score two. And let's play it up and down. You know, that was not his style in Dallas. It's not been his style in his previous stops. But in Indiana, he saw his personnel. He saw the athleticism, how young they are and how they get up and down the floor and say, that's the way we're going to play. So, yeah, I mean, you know, styles make fights, and this should be an interesting series, but considering Cleveland's kind of a team that doesn't have a lot of great offensive weapons, and they're going to have to muck the game up a little bit like Miami was going to have to, and how the Celtics deal with that. But I think the Celtics should be fine here.
Gary, thank you, man. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you
soon. Thanks for checking in, Gary. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, guys.